Good morning. On a beautiful Sunday morning, you can do better than that. Good morning. And welcome. I'm David Moore. I'm one of the pastors here, and I want to extend a warm, friendly welcome to all of you, and especially our guests today. And if you're visiting with us, we extend a very special welcome to you. And I encourage all of you to register your attendance on the pads provided for you. Please notice your announcements this week. There's the Women's Bible Study, the Cub Scout Pinewood Derby, and you will notice an insert in your bulletin about Asbury Now, a new format for Wednesday night. Please read that. A lot of great things going on in the life of the church, and especially beginning in February with Wednesday Now program. So please look at your bulletin. Let's take a moment and greet one another. Oh, and I want to remind the youth that your fees for the Veritas program are due tonight, and Chase will receive them then. So let's take a moment and greet one another. Be standing and join with me in the call to worship. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised.
Thank you.
will find the affirmation of faith this morning on the first page of your bulletin. Let us unite in this historic confession of our Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Congregation, be prepared to enter into the part of the baptismal covenant by turning to page 44, and at the point of our sacrament, we will look forward to your response. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is given to us without price. Today, Kobe and Liza Smith present their daughter Asher for holy baptism. So I ask you this question: will you nurture Asher in Christ's holy church, that by your teachings and example she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and lead a Christian life? And if you will, your response is, we will.
We will.
Let us pray together. Most blessed Father, we give you thanks over this water that you have provided and blessed through your Holy Spirit. We recall the baptism of Jesus Christ our Lord and the anointing of our Lord through your Spirit. We understand through our baptism, we grow to know Jesus, and one day, convicted of our sin, we become ready to proclaim him as Savior. Pour out your Holy Spirit and bless Asher Grace, who receives this water now. May she be clothed in righteousness and grow in your love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Asher Grace, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May you grow to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In honor of Asher Grace Smith, will you please stand? Members of the household of faith, I commend to your love and care Asher Grace Smith, whom we this day recognize as a member of the family of God. Will you endeavor so to live that she may grow in the knowledge and love of God through our Savior Jesus Christ? And your response is on page 44. With God's help, we will so order our lives with the example of Christ that this child, Asher Grace, of love, may be embellished in faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. Let us pray. Most gracious Lord, thank you for this precious life of Asher Grace Smith and her wonderful family. Bless them, Lord, and keep them now and forever in your peace and love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Okay, much better. Oh, we have. All right. This morning, as part of my children's sermon, I was asked to sing a song to see if you know a song. Here we go. Do you know the song? I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Okay, you ready? Here we go. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. So very happy, I have the love of Jesus in my heart. I'm very happy, so very happy, I have the love of Jesus in my heart. Thank you. That was challenged to me this week. So what did we talk about? We talked about what? What was the main word of the song? Joy, right? And where is it? In your heart. What? Tell me about joy. When you have joy, how do you feel? Do you get excited? Do you have a wonderful feeling inside that you just want to run around in circles? Yeah, right, Colin. So, but today we want to talk about how we have the joy, because who do we have in our heart? Jesus, way to go, Rachel, very good. And so today, I want you to remember that we may have joy because we got something new, or we're going to go someplace that's fun. But remember, every day we are excited and we have joy because we have Jesus in our heart. And he's excited and he's got joy because he's in our hearts, right? Exactly. Okay, let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for today. Thank you for the beautiful weather that you have had for us this week. We just ask that you remind us about the wonderful joy that we have because you are in our hearts. We ask this all in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
As we go to God in prayer, I call your attention to the prayer concerns that are printed in your bulletin this morning. And we have two additions. We want to remember Duty Rush and Karen Greenfield in our prayers. Please keep these in your hearts and in your thoughts in the week ahead. Let's go to God in prayer. Loving God, what a beautiful day you've given us to come and worship you with thanksgiving in our hearts for all that you've done for us right up to this very moment. We're very humbled by the responsibility that you've given us to be Asher Grace's church family. May we lead lives that are worthy examples for her, and may we show her the joy of being a child of God. We are humbled by your great love for us. Show us, dear God, the persons you want us to be. Can the knowing of your total forgiveness in turn help us to forgive ourselves and others? Can feeling your unconditional love free us to love others unconditionally? Show us, dear God, the persons you want us to be. Open our hearts. Fill us with your Spirit that we may be your disciples, caring for your children with joy and compassion, peace and love. Most merciful God, we lift up to you our prayer concerns. We remember the victims this week of these senseless shootings and tragedies. We remember the first responders. Dear God, we don't understand what's going on. We don't understand why people do these things. But we do ask for your grace and strength for these families. We thank you for staying so close to all who suffer. And we know that you will be with anyone who doesn't know what the day will bring. May all find strength and peace in you. And help us, oh God, to pray not only for our family and friends, but also for people we've never met. Those who are homeless, destitute, and hungry. Those who have no one to care for them. Soften our hearts and stir our compassion and move us to action. Help us to be agents of peace. Help us bring through the power of the Holy Spirit comfort, healing, and hope to those who are broken in body or spirit, turning their sorrow into joy. And now, dear Lord, we fall silent before you and ask you to hear those prayers too deep for words. This worship this morning is for you. All the words spoken, the songs sung, and the prayers prayed, the laughter, the tears, the attentive hearts, the upward glances, the inward confessions, the faith expressed, the doubts reserved. With all these mixed emotions, dear God, accept it from us to you and go with us from this place into our workaday world and help us, one day at a time, to live this week for you. Guide and direct us, we pray. We offer our prayers in the loving name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power, and the glory forever. As we continue to worship God, we offer to Him our thanksgiving, our tithes, and our offerings for the work of this His church. We at Asbury truly believe that what we have to offer makes a difference in this world. But more than that, we believe in the One who is behind our giving. Let's worship God with our gifts of tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Gracious God, You've given us more than we could have ever dreamed of or asked. Help us to make ourselves ready to reach out by word and by our actions, walking in Christ, walking in love, walking in sacrifice. Bless the gift and the giver in Christ's name. Amen.
Standing for our hymn of meditation, hymn number 400, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Teach me some of the glorious song.
morning, I invite you to turn to the Old Testament and find the book of Psalms. We'll be reading from the 16th Psalm and just one verse, the last verse of that psalm. So may the people of God be encouraged by this hearing and reading of God's holy word in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, the 16th chapter, verse 11. Thou dost show me the path of life. In thy presence there is fullness of joy. In thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. The word of God for the people of God. January bills coming in following Christmas shopping. Loved ones we care deeply about who have gone to hospice. People that we once were close to now seem strangers. Someone that you care about who watches their son commit a crime and goes to jail. Someone else that was so healthy just a year ago, their body ravaged by disease. These are just a few examples of circumstances that we have to admit at times make us, what makes it difficult to feel joy. So this morning I want us to think about the idea of recapturing joy. Can you name, for instance, the 5 days in your life where you felt the greatest joy? I can. One that stands out in my mind was the day that I graduated from college. It was close to my birthday, and my mom and dad drove up to Shreveport, saw me graduate, took us all out to a fancy dinner at an Italian restaurant. And since I had just turned 21, Dad bought champagne. My marriage day, our wedding day, I felt so joyful. So confident, so assured that I was back there fixing the bridesmaid's hair. The birth of our 2 daughters. And the scripture where Jesus says, the mother before she has her child is in much pain, but once the joy of the birth is there, the pain has gone away, and only joy remains. And then some 25, 26 years later, the wedding date of our daughter, Kate. All milestone events, all very personal. Sometimes they're related to family celebrations, and sometimes they're not. You have your moments of joy, and they are joyful because perhaps they represent great fulfillment, great accomplishment, deep satisfaction, extreme happiness. But when we think about having that joy in the Lord, I'm not so sure our joyful moments are necessarily connected by Big Bang accomplishments. I believe joy in the Lord has more to do with a state of spiritual mind, a focus on Christ with a thankful heart in all circumstances. I've heard it said this way: it's not happiness that makes you grateful. It's a grateful heart, a perspective of gratitude that brings you happiness. I believe true gratitude must be grounded in the fear of the Lord, not that fear of the Lord that has us frightened of God, but rather that fear of the Lord that describes reverence and deep respect for God. I recently saw a young man wearing a t-shirt that said, "God will get you for that." That was his idea of God, I suppose. This grand watchman in the sky that's just waiting for you to trip up and do something wrong and watch out for what will come. I think many people perhaps do have that perspective about God, especially in reading the Old Testament. Sometimes you can read the Old Testament and believe that God is all about being a vengeful God, punishing left and right for the disobedience towards Him. But if you view God as a loving God that set parameters and boundaries and guidelines for us to live by because He wants to protect us, because He loves us so much, then that God is the God who deserves all our respect, all of our love, all of our allegiance. And that is our God. Our God absolutely is a loving Father who will stop at nothing to bring those back to Him who have fallen away, even if that means the sacrifice of His Son. So as we look today at the idea of recapturing joy amidst circumstances which are less than desirable, times which seem overwhelming, the question is before us. What is it that will enable us to recapture our joy? And does that mean that God doesn't want us to be sad? That God doesn't want us to be angry? That God doesn't want us to feel anything but pure delight? I believe God created us to feel a myriad of things. I think it's appropriate to feel sad at times. It's appropriate to feel our spirits down at times. And Jesus showed us that, yes, it's even appropriate to be angry at times, as long as that anger produces some good. And that none of those feelings dwell in our hearts for very long. But instead we allow the Spirit of the living God to buoy us up out of that sense of despair. And to be in that state of joy in which we were created, and which the Lord wants us to be maintained. So first, I believe the key to recapturing the joy is focusing on God as our loving Creator. Think about it. Have you ever looked, say, on the edge of a river and examined the stones, the river stones? You won't find any two just exactly alike. There'll be some different colorations, different sizes, different texture to the touch. And we know the filigree ornaments that fall from the sky called snowflakes. No two alike. We think about all of the beautiful mountains colored in the fall, with no two leaves being exactly the same coloration. We worship God who is so full of joy, who absolute delights in using His creative energy to give us an array of wondrous things to behold and to feel joy and gratitude. Now, I have to admit, Monday night, as I was driving up the driveway and saw a possum go across, it made me think that when I do go to heaven and I do have an opportunity to be face to face with God, I am going to ask him, "Hey God, what were you thinking when you created possums and armadillos and snakes and certain spiders and mosquitoes?" I just haven't found quite why I should delight in those things yet, but I'm sure it awaits me. God is so joyful in creating that he created no one just like you. We are unique. Celebrate that. Love that. Find the joy in that. And secondly, I believe the key to recapturing the joy in our lives is to trust God. I can remember pastoring in a certain church, and within a short period of time, two very different scenarios took place. One afternoon, a woman came into my office, and she was beginning to sob as she told me her story. And I'd been somewhat aware of this. She and her husband had tried all avenues, medical procedures, everything, and had come up empty in trying to have a child of their own, and she was grieving. At that point of acceptance, she was grieving. And I listened to her, and I tried to imagine as a mother myself what that would feel like. And I could get just a glimpse of the devastation that she must have felt. And I prayed with her. And I remember speaking to her and saying, "I know how empty you must feel now. But that does not diminish your capacity to love. Find something or someone to love as deeply as you would a brand new baby of your own. Another child to adopt. A pet. A pet that will not have a happy end unless it's adopted. An elderly person that has no family nearby. Find that person or charity which needs you as much as you need them. Find that emptiness that you can offer your emptiness. And before you know it, you both will be full." A short time later, ironically, a couple came to my office with a totally different bit of news. They were expecting a child, and their children were grown. And after we talked through their shock, and I listened and heard their worst fears, I began to share with them my personal story of being born to parents much later in their lives. And I reminded them they survived. The source of our joy is just whatever it is. Place your situation in the trust of the Lord. Is there anyone else's hands, quite frankly, that you would want to be holding your life? Not me. I will trust God even if I don't always understand his plan or the direction he's taking my life. Wonderful Christian commentator Oswald Chambers has said this: "Keep your life constantly in touch with God, that his surprising power can break through at any point. Live in a constant state of expectancy and leave room for God to come in as he decides. The joy of the Lord, our trust in him, and our desire to do his will. Thirdly, I believe one of the greatest ways to recapture the joy of the Lord is finding a moment of solitude to reflect on God's goodness. Hear what John Wesley has to say in Living Our Lives Pointing Towards Joy. I look on all the world as my parish, and whatever part of it I am, I judge it meet, right, and my bounden duty to declare unto all that are willing to hear the glad tidings of salvation. I expect to pass through this world but once. Therefore, any good thing that I can do or any kindness that I can show to any fellow creature, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. When I was young, I was sure of everything in a few years, having been mistaken 1,000 times. I was not half so sure of most things as I was before. At present, I'm hardly sure of anything but what God has revealed to me. And this next statement of his, which has nothing to do with joy, I just liked it. The church recruited people who had been starched and ironed before they were washed. I love that. John Wesley, wouldn't you have loved to just had an hour to sit over a cup of English tea with him? The implication on that last statement, of course, is that we come to church all pretty, but we don't always leave it cleansed. I mentioned to you before how important it is, I believe, for us to discover that sacred place. That sacred place where you can be alone with God and know that you won't be distracted. That gizmos and electronics won't call for your attention. Where is the place that you find that you are closest to God? How often do you intentionally direct yourself there? Has that place become a luxury for you or a necessity? Solitude with Christ is essential for the person intending to stay connected with the Lord. We talk about, I just need some me time. I don't think this is what I would call that me time. I would call it the Lord and myself time. In this new year, why not make it a goal that nothing and no one will be able to pull you away from that moment of every day that you dedicate to your alone time with God? I believe it will truly lead you to a daily restoration of joy. And finally, joy is really found in obedience to God. Follow the Lord and find real and lasting joy in following his will. Don't obey God because you're afraid of judgment day. You're already righteous if you're in Christ. But follow God because you love him and you want to please him. Follow God and obey God because you want to glorify him. Follow and obey God because it's the loving witness to do, because people are watching you as they're watching me. Obey God because it's a reflection of Christ. Obey God as if your life depends upon it, because your life in full joy does In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our hymn of commitment is Rejoice, the Lord is King, 715. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, would like to come forward and profess your faith for the very first time in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or renew that commitment, or to come forward and to pray, this is the time to do so. Let us be standing. We Methodists at Asbury do this. All right. I know that you've gotten to know Charlotte Ming, and she's been coming here for a couple of years now, and we just want to welcome her officially to the Asbury family, and she's asked to have her membership from Primrose United Methodist Church transferred here. So since she already has taken the United Methodist vows and we honor her baptism, we just simply do the paperwork, and we welcome you. We welcome you, and we want to give you an opportunity to have the congregation greet you in just a moment. So please receive this benediction. And now, God, we thank you for this day, for it is a day of promise, a day of joy. May we behold your tender love and share the peace of Christ and the grace of our Lord and Savior and the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit to all we meet this day and forevermore. Amen.